You're listening to SBS News.
I guess I'd start by asking, we've been told at this lockdown that has just started again will run for 6 weeks. It's been characterised, and I guess health officials are warning that this will be tougher than the first lockdown. Is that accurate? And if it is, how so?
Well, Victoria is experiencing very challenging circumstances at the moment, with a very rapid rise of new coronavirus cases in the last few weeks. Today we've had 288 new cases. So we've had to make some very difficult decisions, and that was to reimpose stage three restrictions, effectively to limit people's ability to leave their home to four key reasons, and to do that for a six-week period. The restrictions that are in place are largely the same as what Victorians experienced earlier in the year, but in this case, it will apply only, or does apply only, to metropolitan Melbourne, together with the Shire of Mitchell, which is a regional community next to the northern suburbs of Melbourne. And that will apply until Wednesday, the 19th of August.
So in terms of, I know we have a lot of, I guess what we call vulnerable residents, people on their own, the elderly, people with poor English, those who already have underlying health conditions, who can they contact if they need help?
Well, firstly, it's important that everyone understands the rules and how they apply to those who are in those areas of Melbourne or in Victoria where these restrictions apply. So these stay-at-home rules mean that you can leave your home for only four key reasons: to shop for essential items, to seek medical care or for compassionate or care reasons, for exercise or for work and education, if you can't do those at home. So in terms of someone who is vulnerable, they can have a caregiver visit their home. So for example, if they have an adult child who provides ongoing support, like dropping off food or checking on them to make sure that they get the support that they need, that's permissible, that's able to continue. If someone lives on their own and they don't have the ability to seek support, they can also access support from the Victorian government. So for example, if someone is required to self-isolate due to the coronavirus, either because they've tested positive or they're a close contact and they have to stay at home for 2 weeks in isolation, and then they can call the coronavirus hotline and can get an emergency relief package dropped off to them at home. And this will have some basic food items as well as toiletry items in that package. In a similar way, if someone needs to be isolating at home for those reasons and they can't go to work and they have no financial support and they can't access sick leave through their work, then they're eligible also for a $1,500 hardship payment from the Victorian government, again, by calling the coronavirus hotline. Look, I have to say that this is a very, very challenging time for Melburnians and for those in regional Victoria that are subject to these restrictions. And we recognise that it's very difficult for families, for those who live on their own, and for businesses impacted by these changes. But unless everyone follows these rules very, very strictly, we will continue to see more positive cases and more people end up in hospital. And we are seeing now an increasing number of people being hospitalised in recent days and recent weeks. So it is important for us to protect the most vulnerable in our community, that people follow all the public health advice, and that is to stay home if they're experiencing any symptoms related to the coronavirus, and those cold and flu-like symptoms, potentially a fever or runny nose or cough, those types of symptoms, to get medical care, to get tested for coronavirus, and to isolate for the two-week period. If we all do that, then we will bring the numbers down just like we did earlier in the year, and we will keep people safe and we will save lives.
Will interpreters be available for people who have no or very limited English?
So if someone calls the coronavirus hotline and the number is 1-800-675-398 and it's staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, interpreters are available, and a person just needs to ask for what language they speak and the interpreter will be organised. We also have lots of information in, I think, 54 different languages available on the Department of Health and Human Services website. And for community organisations listening to us now, I'd encourage them to download that information about coronavirus in those different languages and distribute those to their members. That would be immensely helpful. We're working very closely with all of our multicultural communities and have been doing so for many months to disseminate all the relevant information from a prevention standpoint to make sure people are aware not just what the rules are in terms of complying with those rules, but also how people can keep themselves safe, how they can keep their family safe. Sadly, what we have seen in Victoria at least is that large family gatherings have spread this virus, that we've had, you know, people come together for celebrations, for lunches, for dinners, and one person might have the virus. They may not even think that they're unwell, and they have spread it to their other family members. So this is why we're not permitting now visitors to people's homes for the next 6 weeks, and only those members who live in that household will be able to be in that household for that 6 week period. We recognise that's really difficult for those individuals who live alone, but as I explained earlier, carers are able to continue to visit someone who might have particular needs, an elderly person or a person with disabilities, for example, and to provide that ongoing support.
In terms, and I'm very glad you mentioned multicultural communities, because in regards to the hard lockdown, which has been eased in some of the public housing towers we've seen, and it's on the way, I understand, to being eased in those in which it hasn't been eased, we have heard sentiments from those towers and from people, I guess, advocating for those living there, that they feel almost a sense of being picked on, in that they can't leave their building, but other people are allowed at least some limited movement outside. What can you say to people to I guess alleviate that feeling that they're not being treated the same as the rest of the community for whatever socioeconomic or class or cultural reasons?
Look, I would firstly say that the decision that was made was based on public health grounds to protect the residents of those public housing towers, and the socioeconomic or ethnic background or, you know, any of those types of demographic factors had absolutely nothing to do with the decision or the advice, in fact, that was given to us by our public health officials. We took the same approach in those circumstances as we have done for many of our nursing homes, our aged care facilities across Victoria, and I know other states have taken a similar approach. When you have a very large number of people all living together with shared facilities, shared laundries, narrow corridors, common entrances and exits, the risk factors are significant. And what we have seen from the extensive testing that we've done, we went door to door and knocked and got people tested in those towers. 226 people as of today have tested positive out of the approximately 3,000 people who live in those nine towers. Now, that's a very significant concentration of people who are positive in that accommodation. And this is just demonstrates that there were very, very sound reasons why the action that was taken needed to be taken, and that was to keep people in their apartments till they could be tested, till the risk assessment could be made about what happens next. And so what has been able to occur is two towers, thankfully, have had no cases at all, they've been able to revert to the same restrictions as the rest of Melbourne. For those residents who've tested positive or are close contacts, they're being supported potentially with alternative accommodation being organised for them. And then there's one tower that has 67 cases just in the one building that's had to have a stricter approach taken, similar, as I said, to a nursing home, to enable people to recover safely and to make sure that other residents in that building can be kept safe whilst those people recover. So it's been done on a risk assessment basis. It's been done only with the view of keeping people safe. I know it's been very challenging, but when I look to places like New York, who've had people die in very significant numbers living in very similar type of public housing conditions, then it's important that we take all the steps necessary to protect those residents from contracting the virus if they don't already have it, or recovering and getting the support that they need. So we'll be continuing to provide food, back-to-school resources, any other kind of assistance that those residents need if they continue to be isolated in their apartments as they recover. And there's also on-site medical teams available to provide on-site medical care as well.
And lastly, we heard the Premier and the Chief Health Officer speak this afternoon about masks and the recommendation that Victorians wear masks if they have to go outside in situations where they can't social distance. What help will be available in terms of the distribution of those masks? I know the government has acquired 3 million masks. What help will be available in terms of the distribution of those masks and also education about those masks? We've heard from communities, for example, people don't know the full details about how to put on a mask. They don't know it has to go over your nose as well as your mouth. Will there be resources put into educating people on that as well as distributing masks?
Yes, absolutely. So the advice has changed. This was advice that came from the chief health officers from across Australia meeting and considering all the latest international evidence about masks, and they have decided that for individuals living in metropolitan Melbourne or Mitchell Shire that they should consider wearing a mask. It's not going to be compulsory, it will be a voluntary thing. Obviously it won't apply in your home unless you have a sick person with coronavirus in your home, in which case you might want to protect yourself from catching it. But if you're going out into the community, like using public transport or going into a busy shopping centre where it's hard for you to physically distance, that is, it's hard for you to keep a distance of 1.5 metres from other individuals, the recommendation now is to wear a mask to protect yourself and to protect others. So we have ordered 2 million reusable masks and 1 million more single-use masks, and we will be looking at distributing those to more vulnerable people in the community, so those, for example, living in our public housing towers, though in those circumstances where it's hard for them to, I guess, separate themselves out from others in a more crowded environment, and we'll be putting out lots of information to the community about how to wear a mask properly, because unfortunately people wearing masks, they might become a little bit complacent and think that they have all the protection that they need, but if they're not wearing their mask properly, then it's really not serving a great deal of protection for them. So we're going to create a video to show people how to wear a mask properly, but we'll also be distributing information about either making a mask or wearing a mask in many different community languages. And just wish everyone right across Australia all the very best in these challenging circumstances. And of course, it's no time for anyone, no matter where in Australia we live now, to be complacent about these issues, but particularly for those individuals listening to us in Victoria, in Melbourne, wishing them all the very best to stay safe, to keep themselves and their families safe by following all the Stage 3 restrictions.